satisfy you.
Welcome to Notcast, episode 327, Legalized Awoo. You meow. Meow. So thanks to the millennials that kill everything, they killed the old people that had made awoo illegal. So feel free to awoo along. Awoo. I'm Saverin.
I'm Shiva.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And we're back. We've you guys survived MFM, and then you survived the MFM con crud.
Yes.
Saverin is okay. Saverin's strong.
Yeah. I retweeted that. I hadn't seen that.
Smug little Finnick. It's just like...
Where we've been sick, you've been petting doggos.
Yes, yes, I have.
That's how you've been improving your immune system by
petting doggos. Yep, I just encounter as many dogs as I can and pet them.
Yes.
Well, there are worse ways to pass time.
Well, the MFM weekend, I was at Weatherford and got to pet lots of dogs.
Uh-huh.
Then last weekend was Bowie. Didn't get to pet any dogs. But sad. I got to pet co-chairman Bob's dog today. He was super friendly. It's a
Bob?
Yeah.
Bob was super friendly?
Well, he can be.
But he doesn't want you to pet him.
No, the dog.
Pet the beard.
that's reserved for his wife. So
special pettings.
No. That kind of fraternization is frowned upon. So yeah. Since then it's been MFM and
Colds.
Wow, yeah. Legion has launched.
Man, so many people came back from MFM with that silly cold.
Every single person that I know that went, y'all basically said they came home sick.
Yep. Diddy and Andrew didn't. Diddy and his husband.
Okay.
Mm. That's the only person from Dallas that went.
Like Ajax, my roommate, it was helping me at the table. He caught it. And he thought it was just allergies, and then he went to furry migration with Tyrion the weekend after that, and then it exploded into full-blown cold, so he actually spent, like, half the con asleep in NyQuil in the hotel room.
Ugh.
So he was patient zero.
Yeah, I guess he's probably patient zero for furry migration, so you can blame us.
But, yeah, I don't know how it hit other communities and whatnot, but I know that pretty much all the Dallasites that came back from MFM.
And Rahata caught it, didn't he? No? Raven did.
Raven did, Kethry's, and a whole bunch of the Dallas folks that went. Noxie.
Yep.
Yeah.
I just remember looking at Twitter, and I'm like, I've never seen, like, nearly everybody I know that went to a con get the same con crud before. Like, you see,
within hours of each other. It was like, boom, boom, boom.
You see, like, isolated cases of it occasionally, but it's like...
But not...
That is a small con, too. That had like such a high percentage of us.
And somehow Sero didn't get it. He went to he went to it with me, and you know, he lives in the same house, sleeps in the same bed, managed to not catch it.
Lucky
so
him.
Yeah.
And Tyrion didn't catch it when we came home. He didn't go to the con, but he didn't catch it from me. So.
Yeah, so I don't know how we all got it, but once we got back it didn't seem to share it.
Yeah.
Just turns out that the Mississippi's plague lands.
Apparently.
I think it was messing with my CPAP too, and like so my allergies were getting really bad, and I think I honestly got like a sinus infection is probably what happened.
It could also have been like low sleep, low energy, you know, at the con you're always really busy, you sleep like crap.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah. So. For me though, speaking of MFM, want to go into brief con report territory here. It's not a super busy con for us because it is a smaller attendance. I think they had about 20 more people than last year, this year. I think it was like, 460? Is that about right, Shiva?
I hadn't heard the number, but yeah, I know.
Okay.
I heard
it was something like that.
I heard it was about 20 up.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's a little slow at the table, but like, but we did okay. You know, it's a few extra bucks. It's within driving distance. It's not a real high outlay of cash, so it was definitely a profitable con for us. But after dealer's room hours, it was just really relaxing. It was really nice. Like, we didn't go to like panels and there's no like big events and stuff like that, but I did a lot of hanging out. You know, of course, I went to Kethris and Rahata's room party, had the Earl Grey Martinis.
Mm-hmm.
What's
that? It's a martini that's made with Earl Grey tea.
Basically,
martini.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So Catharus basically takes gin and infuses it with Earl Grey, so you have that really strong bergamot taste, and then uses that to make martinis, and it's really tasty.
Okay.
So I have the recipe for making it. Me and Glar are going to attempt to
Trying to get Rahada to drag Catharus with him to our New Year's Eve party. So maybe we can like bribe him into making that or something. Or at least get him to do it at Fiesta so we can try it out or something like that. I went to the room party. I hung out there. Then there was another night where a few of us just hung out. You remember those super comfy chairs that are right under the stairs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I hung out on the side that wasn't as busy as the one that's right across from the gaming room. And it was like me, Ajax, Kitsana, Gazer, and like a random furry that just sort of stopped by. And somebody came by and dropped a fully inflated balloon onto the little table between the four chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And then like five quote-unquote adults proceeded to occupy themselves for like 20 minutes bouncing a balloon back and forth between each other. Like, oh no, we can't let it touch the ground. Ah. And it was weird, but it was like, wow, we just had this random little bit of fun that was just...
I swear that's half of what about cons in general.
Yeah. Both
furry, sci-fi, whatnot. It's basically people who have learned to forget how serious to be as an adult, and you actually have a little bit of that childlike.
Yeah.
You can amuse yourself with seven other adults and a balloon.
Yeah.
You know,
definitely the kid in me really came out there.
Yeah, you know? I mean, and that's kind of something that nerds in general kind of can muster. It's just the ability to just enjoy simple things like kids do.
Yeah. So there's a lot of moments like that of just hanging out, chatting to friends, and having a good time. And it turned out for me to just be a very relaxing con. And then we slept in, and then we headed home on Monday. And it was overall, it was a good weekend. And I didn't appreciate the con crud after the fact, but what are you going to do? So, so you were there, Shiva, but in a more more official capacity. I mean, I was a dealer, but you were probably a little more active than I was.
Well, it's not. I'm helping out. It's not my main show. I'm extra babysitter, but I don't do anything with the organizing. I don't do anything with the planning. Mm-hmm. I just show up, and while Rama gets a break, I make sure the dealers don't light each other and or the attendees on fire, and or the attendees lick things that they shouldn't lick. Hey, some of the dealers had candy.
Oh, okay.
So they were strangers with candy.
Yes.
It's like, no, you're a canine furry, you can't have the chocolate.
Mine was, it was not the most fun times. There were a lot of undercurrents of drama going on that I didn't enjoy.
Really?
Oh. I'll tell you about it off air.
Okay.
That made it kind of a really awkward time to be there.
Well, if it was among the staff, then good job, because...
No, it was nothing related to staff.
Okay, all right.
There's some people with family problems, and...
Yeah, no, don't go into it.
No, I'm just saying that there's the con itself was the same as MFM ever was.
Yeah.
You know, MFM is MFM, so lather, rinse, repeat. I hate to say it, the con doesn't change much year to year.
It was like Ajax, since his first time coming to the con, he was like, yeah, it just feels like an older con. And it does. To me, I always have this like 90s flashback when I go to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost a lot of the same repeat panels every year. I ended up helping do the poly panel again.
Mm-hmm.
Dealers change up a little, but the layout doesn't. They have the ice cream social at the same time every year, same room, registration, same room, opening, closing ceremonies. You know, some of the minor details change, but other than that, it's copy paste from the prior year. And now there is some change up. Like last year and this year, they did color shirts.
Yeah.
Which is a huge change for them, and they looked really good.
They looked really good, yeah.
I have to give them major kudos for that.
They also have color badges now.
I know.
And do they have color shirts again this year?
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, Noxie did the art.
With Noxie's art on it.
Yep. Oh, okay.
Because she was the guh.
The guh. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's... But as most 99% of the con is the same thing every year, in and out. And
I think if you're gonna change it, it's gonna happen slowly. Like I think they've started to make strides.
They'd also have to really change their venue and shift things. You know, change up. Mm-hmm. They need a new venue so they could rethink how they do things. Hell, with Fiesta, every time we change venue, we have to overhaul our game plan 100%.
Yeah.
And it makes us rethink room usage and what kind of panels we can have and who can do this and who can do that. Mm-hmm. And we can't do that anymore, or we can, but we have to really change it.
Yeah.
I think as long as MFM is in that hotel, unless there's a huge effort on the part of staff to, you know, completely change up, it's not going to really change all that much. Yeah. I don't know. This year I wasn't really... considering going back up until Noxie was guest of honor, and because she's pretty much my best friend, I had to go. Mm-hmm. And I went, and it was a decent time. We ended up, you know, getting up, helping out in the den. And then after work, it was work. Yeah. After that, it was like, okay, go find dinner, which we're foodies. So we tend to go hither and yon to find all kinds of neat stuff. We got barbecue for lunch one day, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And big thing was on Sunday after con, we headed out to South Abiel to get a really nice meal. It's a really good place to eat. Mm-hmm. But that's mostly what MFM is go to the con, work the den, maybe go to a panel or two afterwards. Mm-hmm. And then find places to eat, which it's okay. I mean, I mostly go because of some of the people I see there, but most of them go to Fiesta now anyways.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know if I'm going to go back next year. It's not, I don't have enough fun to know if I spent, it's like $500.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've got have $500 worth of fun. So I'm debating next year.
I'm going to go back. It's not our biggest dealing con, but it was worth it. And I had a good enough time outside of dealing to justify it.
Yes. Arrow was kind of the opinion of me I'll go back this year because of Noxie. But now after going back this time, now he's making noises like he wants to go back again next year. I mean, we're talking about doing BLFC, so that's going to be, I don't know, do too many cons a year, so.
Yeah, yeah.
That might mean my main changeover.
BLFC will be a little pricier because you'll have to fly out
there. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. Like I said, it is driving distance, which is a pro.
And Monday's usually a holiday for a lot of
people. So it makes travel really easy.
Yeah.
I don't mind a long drive because it's basically 7 hours of, you know, just sitting back, relaxing.
Yeah.
I usually end up half talking to Sarah half the trip and reading between, you know, rounds of talking. So it's kind of relaxing.
It's a good audiobook drive.
Sarah hates audiobooks. Zero hates audiobooks.
Well, fuck him.
That's what I used to listen to audiobooks when driving. That was my thing, at least when I was behind the wheel.
Yeah.
I listened to audiobooks because I liked them.
And it passes the time.
Yeah, and
I listen to podcasts.
Well,
then if you run out of podcasts, you're fucked.
And Siam. You
could force Sarah to listen to episodes of Notcast.
Oh, God. Siam likes book tapes, so when he's driving, he gets to listen to whatever he wants to listen because he's... the driver. But if I'm driving, Sarah just kind of complains about what we're listening to. So, yeah, I don't.
You need to give him a slap, put that bitch in his face.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm not advocating domestic violence, but Sarah is a subby bitch. So, just give him a smack. It'll be fine.
So, yeah, it was okay. Nothing different really about the con. I really don't know how much of the interpersonal really put a sour note on it, except I knew that coming into it, I wasn't like, ooh, MFM, you know. So we'll see.
I also partially wanted to go back because it was the 20th anniversary.
There is that, too.
So, speaking of 20th anniversary, to drag us off this train of thought, Sabrina Online ended, finally.
Really?
Yeah. Today is the 20th anniversary of it launching on the internet. And Eric Schwartz, the comic artist slash creator, posted the final set of strips today to the website.
Wow.
I just happened to notice it and like, oh, well, it ended. It's over. 20 years on the internet. 1995 to 2015. Ah, yes.
Fennecs are amazing.
Fennecs are bad at math. But yeah, it finally ended. The main character married her boyfriend. And they fuck and fly Babby on the way. It's over.
Wow. I mean, 20 years.
I was joking with Saverin that there was a, that he should have just done it as an animated image of her boyfriend fucking her, and she's slowly getting fatter and fatter as she's filled with babbies.
400 babbies. So many babbies.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was one of the earliest webcomics out there. Not the earliest by any stretch, but it was certainly one of the progenitors, and the fact that it had still gone up into this point, even if it was only a few strips a month, like, that's some dedication. He probably still does it all on his...
So, does he have to change the name to Sabrina Offline now?
No, I don't know. Well, see, this way he can put forth the second, you know, he had his Sabrina Online the first decade strip thing. And then
oh, my God, is this literally an internal of her fucking womb?
Yeah, a little egg with a bunch of little sperm, and like, hey.
What are you all doing in here?
Hey, okay, so you went and pulled up to read the final strip too.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
feel like such a nerd because I immediately went to.
I was
read
just
them.
Curious. 835 strips in 20 years.
Wow,
that's I guess a it'll lot have of... to do. That's what it says on there.
Wow,
I'm not being detrimental.
Well, it's like a strip a week, a little less than a strip a week, but still, I mean, 20 years for a
I don't
single
know if
character.
I could do that.
No, I mean, we've done this on a weekly basis for how many years now?
Well, we try for basis. Yeah, we yeah. try for weekly, but
reality gets in the way. So.
Yeah.
So now this is a section that Buzz can tune out for briefly.
Oh okay. God.
Okay.
So we are entering WoW.
We're entering the
That's
WoW
right,
zone.
Logging in.
WoW did a thing. Okay.
So Fuzz, just go look at our Telegram group and enjoy the massive porn storm that is currently ongoing.
Oh, all right.
And
we will nerd.
We're going to nerd out about WoW Legion for a bit. So okay. I have to say that I am having a hell of a lot of fun with
it. Me too.
I have gotten my main, my shaman, to 110, to like 20 now.
Mm-hmm.
And I still haven't finished Suramar. I'm still feeding my crack elves. But I've found enough other shit to do that I'm not like out of stuff to do.
Plus the world quests that pop every day.
Yeah, and I've been able to get this. I've been into two dungeons in the expansion so far. One normal, one heroic. And so, like, I've not seen a bunch of the content, and, like, I've got a quest, a world quest, to get a fucking 845 mythic trinket out of a dungeon. And I had, like, I double-checked it, looked at Wowhead, and they're like, you can do this on any difficulty. Just go into this zone, kill the two bosses it tells you need to kill, and get this epic-level trinket. And it's this crazy-ass int trinket that has a proc that, like, it drops an AoE on occasionally. Or, like, Your spells have a chance to pull a nightmare star out of the sky that craps on the ground. And
this poor cat didn't know what it was getting into, but it offered to lick this Fennec's ears.
Yeah. It's going to be going there for a while.
Little gift posted by Marcus.
And so, like, I'm going to do that probably tonight after the podcast. But I went and did the fishing artifact. I have the fishing artifact now.
I haven't tried that yet.
It takes a little while, but the fishing artifact itself is just goofy.
Yeah.
So it's this Murloc skeleton, but the arms are jiggle-boned. So it's not like the shields that have, like, pieces and bits that hang down, but they're actually 2D. So if you, like, flip the camera looking straight down, your chin thing goes all the way up. No, it's an actual physical 3D object. And the arms are jiggle-boned, and they wiggle the way your character moves the pole. The arms jiggle a little.
Okay, I'm going to have to go do that.
And when you turn, like you shift your character, the arms jiggle bone correctly. And
I know.
You're supposed to be wowing Shiva. I'm supposed to be looking at the porn.
I'm talking about...
I was looking for the Fennec getting his brains cleaned.
But I've had a lot of fun with it so far. I've gotten all the artifacts. Fuck enhancement. That quest for that weapon was lame.
I haven't tried it yet. I've done bear, and I've done some Beastmaster Hunter.
Yeah. So far, I've done all three Shaman specs. Paladin, Retribution Paladin, so I got the Ashbringer, and that's kind of a bummer of a story. The Warlock one. Warlock is, Destruction specifically, is dicks being dicks to dicks all the way down. Dicks all the way down, and it is just fun. Because it's like, your character's a warlock and is an evil, evil piece of shit, but you're at least on this side of the war, and not that side. You know, you're punching demons with more demons.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of fun. It's really long, though. It takes a while. The Frost Knight, the Frost DK one sucked.
Go ahead.
Scythe of Balloon was cool.
Yeah, Sarah did that one. I need to do
man,
it.
Man, this bunny is getting filled out like a dealer reg form.
Hell yeah.
So I've taken Bear to, I think she's at 830 now. I've done most of the regular dungeons on heroic because I've got guildies.
Uh-huh.
I don't. You can always, you know, get invited to like go run with us. Thank you, Cross Realms.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see.
I just need to be like, hey, I need to go to dungeons. I need to go to Darkheart Thicket.
Let's see.
Zavius and his fucking goat face.
I love so far Bear. I love all the druid quests. I haven't done the Scythe of Alun, though. I saw a bit of it over Sarah's shoulder. I do want to do it myself. But I've been mostly playing Bear. I haven't gotten to wander far off of that because I've been gearing her up for raiding. And honestly, I've been loving playing her so much, it's been a trial to go leave her to do other things because I'm enjoying this.
Yeah.
I haven't finished Suramar. I did finish I finished the end quests of most of the zones, some of the little side quests, not so much, but I've done the major quest lines through the other one. I love Suramar. Suramar is so pretty.
Super pretty, and like the side quests, like there's the entirely optional ley line quests.
Mm-hmm.
I went and did all 8 of them.
Yeah, they're on running around, we see a little exclamation point. It's like, how do we get to it? Where's the cave? We need to find the cave to go down and get the...
Yeah.
So,
and the benefit of that is you get more mana from dudes.
Mm. Yeah. I've been doing, leatherworking. Leatherworking, I'm almost up to the last one, which I...
Pictures of Anubis.
Which I hear is something involving a moose and is a bitch.
Get his dick out.
Just like the moose.
Are you appreciating my updates on the forecast?
I've been doing herbing, which I've gotten a couple 2 stars so far, a lot of 1 stars. Rose, picking the ethereal rose or moonlight rose. God, those are a fucking bitch. Most of the time I get dust, occasionally I'll get a rose. But yeah, those are going to be the high price things to sell in the auction house.
I tell you what, so going back to... My shaman, she has the problem of being, she was a raiding character, and her professions are enchanting and alchemy.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning she can't get shit for shit. I mean, she can get enchantment stuff, but she has been, at least since Burning Crusade, this particular setup. In previous expansions, it's been pretty alt-friendly.
Yeah.
But this one, man, you aren't on your main, you're behind the fucking curve.
Yeah, that's my...
I'm going to bring up my warlock next, and she's herb mining.
Yeah, my second one that I do is Hunter, and so she is skinning and mining, and I've got herb on my bear because she's a fucking tauren and instant pick, so. But man, I have to say, compared to everybody else, Beastmaster Hunter got fucking screwed.
Oh?
Well, one, have you done any of the Hunter Hall?
I have not.
Their quest class hall is really meh. And I've played Beastmaster since the year dot, and with all the things that they've stripped off the characters, it's boring. It is boring. It is dumb. I looked at what the rotation I'm supposed to do. One of the main abilities to keep going through is the Titan Thunder or something. It's but you have to do 9/10 of the artifact to even get this ability. So I'm not going to have this until I am way, way, way up the chain. So until then, it's really freaking boring to play. Mm. And it's...
Because I haven't done mine yet, and I was sure, like, I was going between either a marksman or Beastmastery, because Beastmastery gets the second pet.
Yeah, and I love Holly. Or you can transmog it to Kitty.
Oh.
The problem is right now, if you transmog the the second pet to Kitty, mm-hmm. there's no way to transmog it back.
Oh.
So you're stuck with a kitty.
See, I saw it was really cool that someone had gotten another identical wolf to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had, like, named theirs, like, Holly and Hallie or something like that. And I was mm-hmm. like, that's kind of cool. They have two matching wolves. It was a Beastmastery Hunter on a Rat Stallion. And he had the matching wolves and the Rat Stallion, and he had a really slick transmog.
I've got...
And the weird Nerf gun-looking bow.
I've got the, Garum, the purple wolf, to go with blue wolf. So they match really well. They're not identical, but they look the same skin. But it's killing me because I love the spec, and it's fucking boring. I want to do pretty much all of the artifact quests on all of the characters just to see them. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'll take them very far, but I at least want to do them.
That's what I've been doing with my characters, and I actually have 7 artifact videos that I basically worked on today.
Mm-hmm.
But YouTube's been really slow to upload, and they're all like a gig plus a piece because they're fairly long. It's basically the entirety of the artifact from start to finish with minus like any superfluous fighting. Basically anything that there's VO for, it's included, but like, oh, I have to go kill fucking some trogs.
Mm-hmm.
Like a huge chunk of the enhancement one is just out there because it's basically Therizane goes, hey, here's 3 quests, go do them. And it's like just dumb shit. It was the worst. And it also featured mopey green Jesus.
Also the Beastmaster, the hidden appearance. Mm-hmm. Well, one, I don't like any of the appearances of the damn gun. But two, the hidden appearance, unlike all of the other classes where you have to do this, do that in order to earn them, Beastmaster, they're lazy. You go and buy it.
Yeah.
You just throw gold at it. Big whoop. That's such a freaking achievement.
I have been enjoying the zone stories, though, as
yes,
well.
Yes, yes. They're all really good.
Like, Ferrandis standing the fuck up. Valshara, though. Ooh.
Mm-hmm. The only one that's annoyed the fuck out of me is the one that... High Mountains of Torn, the one Stormheim. Where you have to do the freaking boat intro.
Yeah.
With Sylvanas and all that. It's like, oh my god. Slice my wrist, because it's all very... You can't change the pacing. It's a very... There's cut scenes that only go so fast, which is great the first time through it. The second time through it, it's like, kill me. Please. I've done this. I want to kind of just do the quest, go. But even still, the second time through, the third time through, it's just,
One thing that I do really like is the fact that everything scales to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I love and I hate it. I both love and hate it.
But it's good because you and a friend, doesn't matter if they're level 100 and you're 110, you're both going and you're fighting to the same things. Everyone's doing scaled commiserate damage to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes it so that everybody's getting their full XP. You're not nerfing them and they're not dragging you down.
And there's also, like, first time through, me and Sarah... We ran side by side. On our alts, my hunter, his priest, which are both our farming characters, he went off by himself. I went off by myself. But we've kind of got mains to a point where we don't really need to be as on them as much. I mean, we can if we want, but we're not going to hurt much if we're not. So we turned around and said, okay, you finish that zone. I'm halfway through this zone. We can pick this third zone, start it together, and basically use that on if we want to play at the same time and go through that one.
So there's a video of the Windows XP startup sound slowed down to 24 hours.
Oh, my God.
I was just like, holy shit. Wow.
And so going back to the Anubis pictures earlier, those are like early Zen pics from, 2008, yeah.
Mm.
So random, it's like, if you're not in our Telegram chat, you're missing out on all sorts of vintage porn.
Lots and lots of porn.
Small bun.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I do, but on the same thing with the whole, everything scales to you, On the other hand, it's like mining and picking and everything at the max level zones always. Like when you were in pandas, there were certain zones that was always a lot harder to chew through, but it's, you know, you could go out to like the easier zones and just kind of smash through stuff and pick. Ooh, pretty Judy.
Judy you could, by a carrot.
You can pick, you can mine, you can smash through stuff like a fucking tyrant and just carry on the day. But with everything scaling, yeah. Unless you really keep up in your item level, it's going to be the full-on slog it was from the get-go.
Yeah, you get your ass kicked once you're 110 until you get some gear.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, it's like, it's good and it's bad. It's good for, you know, leveling and keeping up with your friends and everybody can run together. It's bad for when you get to max level and you just want to go out and pick and mine and herb for a little bit and be kind of zen, you know.
I will say also that they've made gold acquisition trivial, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, since the start of the expansion, I've made about 40 grand. Because random Gary drops actually are worth good money. And, like, you get gold from quests, which are good across the board. And, like, the market is still really inflated. People are still paying, like, 10 gold a piece for my koi. And I've specced into the koi with my fishing thing. So I in, like, 20 minutes, I fished over 100. Thanks to the Underlight Angler's proc ability.
Mm-hmm.
It has a chance on cast when it lands in a pool to just barrel up everything. And you get everything that you would have pulled from that node in one pull. And so if you have one of the rare baits on and the arcane lure,
mm-hmm.
you can get like five or six of the rare fish plus whatever, plus extra baits. So you're getting, or if you are unlucky, you can get like four casts into a five cast pool and then it barrels and you'll get a further five fish out of the barrel.
Mm.
So you're getting like 9 or 10 fish from a single pool.
That's nice.
So I think at this point, though, we should stop the WoW. Fuzz has gone off. He's start masturbating. And if you've tuned out, sorry, we're going to go back to Silly for Faggotry now because...
yeah.
Because WoW. But I am enjoying it a lot more than I was enjoying Warlords at the same point.
Yes.
And the Order Hall stuff is not nearly as egregious.
No.
You're not off by yourself.
Yeah.
The Order Hall, you're with all the other chosen ones.
Yeah, and but there's people around, and you can see them. The world just feels busier now, yeah. Where Warlords felt very stagnant.
I'm the only person in my garrison.
Big what?
I'm all alone.
I would have been happier if like garrisons were, you know, even guild biased. Like everybody, you at least see all your friends and your guildies to hang out, or you know. But no, they're doing a lot better with this than. They listened.
Also, faction tagging.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck yes. And world quest, the world quest tagging. If it's like a important mob for a world quest, it's universal tagging.
Yeah, but I mean, quest mobs are still faction tagged, but
yeah, but world quest mobs aren't as much.
Yes, and I'm glad of that. Otherwise, it would be a cunt.
Yeah.
So
they've made a lot of really good things, and if you're playing WoW, play WoW with us, I guess.
Yes. Like,
there's even a WoW channel in our Discord chat now.
Hmm.
So me and Tessa have been taking advantage of it. And if you're a person who plays WoW and you see somebody in that channel, feel free to chat us up. And like, if you want help with shit, like,
yeah. I can help Horde side.
Yeah, Horde side. I do have a 100 Worgen rogue.
I've only signed in my allies enough to start their rested building. I haven't played them.
I haven't gotten. I haven't done anything with him. He hasn't even gone north. But then again, I have a bunch of my characters that still have the go through the dark portal quest.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I'm going to go back there eventually at like 110 and just like glance at things sideways and it'll explode. So furries. Fuzz. How about that Judy butt?
Yep.
That one pic of Ajin that just Judy in the shower. Mm-hmm. Small bun.
Very idle.
Size bun. Difference isn't can be nice.
He is very idle.
Though it is weird whenever it's like you see Judy and like a full size anthro and it's like rest in fucking peace, holy shit, and bun alert.
Yeah, She's going to tear. I did like this wolf in a skirt one, though.
Do not kill the bun by fucking.
Oh, God. Yeah. Rahada shared that with me a while back. Like, that is, like, hella hot.
Let me see. Oh, yeah, man. That's fucking nice. Again, if you're not in our Telegram chat, you're missing out.
It's prime porn time.
Also, I would like to point out that breaking news, according to CNN, Clinton, taco trucks in every corner would be absolutely delicious.
Fuck yeah.
So, there's that.
Oh, so one fun thing last week is apparently here in town, they've got a swim complex not far from where I am. It's like less than a mile away up on the main street up by me. And at the end of the year, when they're closing down the pool for the year, the last thing that they do is they do a pooch pool party. And so they open up the entire complex, except for like the lazy river aspect. And they said, bring your dogs. So we took Bo up there, and they have everything from like the little, like maybe knee deep wading pool that for like the little kids to 5 feet, 7 feet. Well, there were, so boatloads of dogs. There were probably a couple hundred dogs, just some were going up, some were going down the slides on their own, some were going down the slides with a lot of encouragement. And just him, he wasn't too sure about this. He was okay at some of the other dog parks with the water, but this is a lot clearer and cleaner than those. But after a little while, he just started bouncing through it, going all around, and just having a grand old time. I haven't seen the dog that like, wee, because he's not like a retriever where he lives and breathes and you can't keep him out of the water. He's not the most water adventurous dog, but he wading is his speed, and he was just going.
Princess hated the water. Like, she hated baths. She did not want to get wet. The rain was not her friend.
Oh, God, he doesn't like the rain, but he does like the hose, especially when we've got the narrow nozzle on it, because he loves laser pointers. Like chasing dots. We have to not use laser pointers anywhere around him, because after you use it, he'll look for the dot for like 45 minutes. Just going around obsessively looking
for
the dot.
Where did the dot go? Where did the dot?
So the hose, well, he can see where the stream vanishes and comes from, but if you turn on the hose and the thin little stream, he will chase it around the backyard like a damn fool.
Well, he's still a puppy.
And, well, he turned two yesterday.
So he's coming out of being a puppy.
Unfortunately, Sarah whoopsed. So we were giving him a bath, and which basically meant shoot the water across the backyard. And when he got to it, hose him down real quick. And then, you know, when he made another close lap, wet him down again. Stop. Turn off the water for a bit. Soap the dog. And then proceed to chase him with the hose to rinse off all the soap. Well, Sarah had gotten soap all over his hands, and so he stopped for a moment and started rinsing his hands in the stream. Well, Bo just saw stream and went chomp, 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 chomp up the stream until he found finger.
Ooh.
And, yep, Sarah got a good nip. And he wasn't aiming for it. He was just chomp, 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 following the stream up, right up to where it impacted Drew's hands because he was rinsing it, and caught a finger. And chomped. It was a really bad bruise, and he did break skin.
Aww.
But Sarah learned his lesson to, you know, don't bend down and watch the dog when you're washing your hands in the stream.
He wants to play with the stream and anything that's in the stream, including your fingers.
Yeah.
Be careful if you're taking a piss.
That's not such an issue, but yeah. The cats have gotten peed on a couple times. Well, the guys stand up and pee, and the cat hops up on the seat at the wrong moment. So I don't.
I'm marking my territory. You're mine.
I think only one of the kittens has gotten peed on so far. I don't remember which one.
So you don't remember which one not to pet.
Well, usually they get wiped down, and that's very indignant too. But there's usually a very sharp cut off of stream. But, you know, there's a rite of passage for if the cat...
Soak the fucker and then dump him in the bathtub.
But, yeah, pretty much all the cats have gotten peed on at one point or another, past and present, because they're dumb and jump up at the wrong time. So, I'm just saying, cats are not bright.
So for whatever reason, I'm looking on my phone and the Notcast thing is only showing on my phone things back from 828.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's...
Yeah, 828's the oldest one.
What do you mean?
August the 28th is the oldest email that we have.
No, I don't see...
Or do you not see anything after that? Anything
after that.
Oh.
It's like, suddenly we're not popular, nobody sends us emails anymore. Oh, no!
No, we've got emails.
Yeah, weird.
Well, do you want to read that one, since it's the only one you have?
Yep.
Well, there's the one that's like, if Phoenix have no emotion, is that why they scream?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If Phoenix have no emotions, is that why they scream? Are Phoenix biologically drained of any emotion to the point they don't feel, and the only thing they can express anything is via high-pitched shriek? And since, does that make Phoenix mere fluffy Daleks? Yes. I am, therefore I must scream.
Are you a fluffy Dalek?
Yes. I retweeted a thing today. It was like, any time it vaguely happened, it's a little Phoenix laying on its back, wriggling, screaming.
Oh, God, Phoenix makes some disturbing noises.
Mm.
Yeah, it's just, for whatever reason, this being shit.
Hit your phone. It's not like it's brand new or anything. It should be working perfectly.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, I'll read the next one because it's kind of long.
Oh, and you're fearing my lack of reading.
You can try if you want to.
No, go ahead.
This is dead as a doorknob.
Okay. All right. Make Brokeback Mountain great again.
What?
We'll see where this goes. Hello, Dotcast. Here's an anonymous rat from a former land of hammer and sickle. Feel free to read this on air if you want. Funny voice optional. Sorry for any grammar or style errors, as English isn't my mother tongue. I'm a first-time writer, long-time listener. You guys taught me all about life, love, nerdship, and everything else that my parents forgot to. I started listening to you in 2010 and patiently went through backlog all the way from episode 1.
Oh, wow.
What a ride it was. Free Astroglide doorknob staircases to me. However, none of the listeners and writers ever had quite the same problems as I did. And because I couldn't wait another decade for someone to write in with similar issues, I decided on writing you this long and tedious letter. I hope I'll be of some help to any future listeners facing the same dilemmas. Issue 1, LDR. Me and my fox have been in an LDR for 4 years now. I like him, and he loves me very much. He lives some 150 miles away and has a stable job in his village. He doesn't have a car and lives closeted with his parents and sisters and their kids. He's the only one bringing bread on the table, thus he can't move in with me. He can't leave his family in a rather good IT job. I run my own business and have offices in the capital city, so I can't move out to a remote village just to be with him. We see each other IRL about once a month or once in 2 months or as much as the circumstances and bus lines allow. We live in a very homophobic part of Europe, which complicates things even further. An easy way out would be to hire him to work at my tech company. He's a front-end app developer and a RLDB sysadmin, and that's a killer combination. However, hiring Fox could be very risky for him. Fox would have to quit his stable, good-paying job in the village and move to a capital city. He'd have to send money back home, one, but if we don't click living together for a longer time, say 12 months, to possibly break up, things could get nasty. I don't know if his former company would still want him back, and also I don't know if I could work and share my apartment with an ex. This is a catch-22. I can't tell how we'll click together. If we don't start living together, and by living together, one of us will have to throw his former life away. I asked Fox about all this, and he said that it's still too early to think about moving. He would really like to be with me all the time, but he's got a family to feed, lots of obligations. And I also have a business to run and some local relatives to take care of. Of course, the last resort would be to split up, but we love each other right now, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. Finding a good mate is hard, and you got to be grateful with what you have, but I don't know. These are matters of love. I can't think straight about these things. Then again, if we remain at status quo, one thought is haunting me. What if we spend the next 5 or 15 years living like this, kissing and humping once or three times per year? Wouldn't that be a textbook example of a wasted life? I'm looking at you, Brokeback Mountain. *1.5. I'm not sure what the asterisks are. Maybe he has footnotes. Mary may not read those. Let's see. Depends what they are. I might also be overthinking all this. What's your opinion? For additional info, I'm 32 and Fox is 37. We're both past the age when we should study and finished college. We're working full time. He graduated college and I worked since high school. Both of us live a very closeted life, and neither of us had ever been to a gay social event, be it a club meeting, pride walk, gay bar night, private party, or a gay-friendly dance. We're both shy and sheltered and have our spy rituals when in public, not to raise any suspicion of being gay. Box is my second partner, and I'm also his second partner. We lost our butt virginity to each other. I'm kind of cold, and he's an emotional type. Box had a foxish nickname in IRC chat, old school for the win, even before I introduced him to the furry fandom, which is a good indication of how much Vulpine he has in his blood. He wants us to be in a closed relationship, and while I don't mind being in an open one, I respect his choice. Okay. So, save for the weekly FAP, I'm pretty much in celibacy. He's also in celibacy. Even worse, he never masturbated since we started dating. I'm saving all the juice for my rat's ass. Kind of sweet, don't you think? Yes, but also...
It's his choice.
It's his choice, but I think that's kind of going to put a strain on things. But anyway. Okay, issue two. Here we go. There are still loads of anti-gay feelings in me. Often I feel like me and my fox are doing a bad thing, something wrong, and I don't know how to get rid of that feeling. Every other night I wonder if I'm going to suffer later for being with a male in bed, and if I might just be better off looking for a good wife and raising kids. I'm a product of an arranged marriage and the last male of my ancestors' bloodline. Yep, it might sound ridiculous in 21st century, but that's how I came to be. Unwanted, but still a pair of useful hands around the house. Deep inside, I have this need for raising a biological offspring, and in my book, there's no better way of building the next generation than in a normal straight family. Also, my current financial situation could support a family of 2 to 3 kids. Sexually-wise, I'm 70% gay and 30% straight. I've never had sex with a girl before. Still, I think I would be able to carnally love the opposite gender. But even if I find a healthy, lovable bride, there's the fox. Would he want to live with me in a mixed love triangle? Haven't asked, but knowing him, the answer would probably be ooh-woo. I guess he did actually type that. On good days, I mean, that part, I mean, that's just like, that's theoretical. So as far as like your relationship questions about fox are concerned, that's not even like in the situation right now, you know, so I wouldn't even like consider that. On good days, I want to go to an after dark gay party and get mindfully wasted. On bad days, I hide from the world. I deny my unnatural, quote unquote, homosexual desires. I have this urge to bash gay people for being honest, wrong, rebels without a cause, worshiping Satan. Don't know. I envy the straight lads for being free from these kinds of issues.
So...
Yeah, so he kind of continues to go on here. No, Shiva did not have to read this. Mm-hmm.
I would just keep going because there's...
Okay, all right. Fair enough. Wait, am I a Republican? Even on the other continent, this far away from America, their grand elder party tentacles were gripping my soul right from the beginning. Fuck me sideways. I don't know if there's any hope I finally decide which side I'm on. Thus I ask you, mighty dot casters, for help. Maybe moving out of this hellhole country to some western one might help. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe I should just take the nod and move to Russia, marry a big-titted bride, and raise kids in some Siberian wasteland or heavily polluted Stalingrad suburb. At least my father would be proud of me. I would have done my best to continue his legacy and also satisfy Jesus. Maybe even my fox, after a couple of days of crying, would marry an old maid in the village and live his years in modest peace and rednecky oblivion. And all would be fine with the world. Okay, enough. I'm really sorry if Shiva had to read this sad story of mine. Hope you could wriggle your way out. Still, if the Notcaster crew decides to toss this email into Cool Story Brobin, well, it's all good. At least I had the bitter fun of putting my problems on virtual paper out in the open. Demons are easier to handle when you know their name. Yeah, definitely. To sum it up, TLDR, how long should an LDR last before it's upgraded to living together relationship or broken up? Should I stay with my biannual fox or find someone within 10 miles range? How to deal with deeply internalized homophobia? Squeak, best of wishes, and keep inflating those iron cast knobs, an anonymous rat.
Let's see, there's a couple of...
footnotes.
Let's see, one, family-wise, I'm much lighter than fox because both my parents, grandparents, and... most close relatives died years ago. Depleted uranium to 1999 air raids, leading to increased background radiation. Thus, yeah, cancer sucks. He's saying he probably won't live longer than 50-something. Let's see. Instead of Fox, this go the 1.5 has to go to the Brokeback Mountain reference. Instead of Fox's shirt, I keep his cum-stained underwear in my closet, or even better, a USB thumb drive with source code repository backup of all the software we built together. Aww.
It's always nice when a Fox and Rat compile together.
Let's see. Spy rituals in homophobic countries. Fun. When we come to my apartment, I give him the keys and drop him off while I keep driving around the block a couple more minutes so nobody sees us coming into the building together. Gotta be careful. There are hooligan gangs attacking anyone looking or acting or even remotely gay. Fun. And you think America's bad, you gotta deal like some of that bullshit.
Yeah. No, I totally don't think that this is cool story, bro, territory.
Holy fuck.
You know, we have people that listen to us all over the world, and I'm very aware that there are countries that have a much more regressive view of gay people. And I don't think you're like a bad person or anything for having all this internalized homophobia. I mean, it's really hard to not have that when the way you were raised in your society and everything drills that into your head your whole life. And I would vote no on the finding a bride and raising a bunch of kids. Cause I mean, at least in the States, when that's come out and that's happened, you have some poor guy at 50 years old telling his wife, sorry, I'm gay and I need to go finally embrace that part of myself. And then they split up and the kids have to deal with that. And, or they stay in a loveless marriage for 20 years just because that's what's expected by their family now, and by their religion. And I just think that that is leading down a road to unhappiness, and you shouldn't go down that road.
Now, number three of his, it goes to some very dark places. And no, you're not a bad person. I mean, and we don't think any less of you for writing this letter.
I mean, it tells of experiences that we in America is like, you know, there's some fucked up shit in America, but not to the scale of, say, former Soviet bloc Eastern Europe.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, it's gotten way fucking better for the vast majority of LGBT people here in the States, unless you're like stuck in rural ass anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But in the cities, it's largely not a problem. But
and you can move away and get to safe spots, at least potentially.
Yeah,
it's not where most of the country is going to fucking kick your ass if they catch wind of it. I mean, it was a couple years ago, but like a couple decades now. And there's areas now you have to be careful. But for the most part, you know, for the most part, you're safe.
Yeah. And dealing with the being raised, you know, I'm assuming possibly Orthodox Christian and all the various extremely anti-gay denominations out in that section of the world. I mean, having that level of self-loathing ingrained into yourself, it's unfortunately a byproduct of your, like, if you didn't have that kind of problem, it'd actually be more of a surprise.
As far as getting over the self-loathe, I mean, that's going to take a lot of soul searching and a lot of training to just, when you find yourselves going down the darker paths, basically catch yourself, set yourself back on the hill, and kind of try to put yourself back on the tracks. Someone once said to me, well, there's a saying, the first thing that comes to mind is what you have been conditioned to think. The second thing that comes to mind is who you are. Because, and this was basically came out of an article I read where basically a woman caught herself thinking of other women like whores and fat shaming and just kind of, you know, being really judgmental. And then she caught herself doing it and said, wait, no, she's got the right to wear whatever she wants, see whoever she wants. If she wants to have sex, then, you know, she's not a slut. She's, you know, someone who can make her own choices, and only she has to, you know, really live with that. I mean, she's her own master. And then felt bad about this and then corrected herself and kind of put herself down the right path. And someone replied to her with that saying, is like, the first thing that comes to mind is what you're conditioned. And the second thing is the enlightened and who you are.
Yeah. So, I remember having this conversation with somebody, and I guess it wasn't you. Maybe it was Saverin.
Yeah, I don't know who I actually had it with. It came up on Facebook as one of the articles that got linked. So I ended up reading it. So keep that in mind. You have a whole, you know, you said you're 32. You've got 30-odd years of conditioning that you're fighting.
He's 37, I think.
No, Fox was 37.
Oh, Fox is older than him. Okay.
Yeah, so you've got 30 years of ingrained social conditioning where you have to fight it if you wish. So don't feel bad if you've been spoon-fed something since you were younger. You've actually found a different path, and you're fighting to maintain it as much as you can. Now, as far as the meat of the matter of how long do you do LDR before you go, okay, enough is enough.
How long has
it been? Get off the pot.
How long have they been LDR now? I don't remember.
5 years.
5 years. Yeah, that is quite a while. But, well, then again, I mean, Taryn and I were 4 years, but, you know, we did not have the kinds of challenges that he's dealing with.
No. I mean, between the family issues and breadwinner and having to take care of people, not to mention all of the homophobia you're going to face.
Yeah. I mean, I could give you advice, but I don't know, like, how feasible it actually is. I mean, because, like, my thoughts would be, like, while it is always admirable to, like, take care of your family and stuff like that, you've got to put what is the best thing for you first. And not saying, you know, be arrogant or fuck over everybody else, but
keep in mind, different part of the world, much more family oriented.
I actually prefaced that
with
that. So that's what I'm saying. I don't know what relevance my advice might have, but I mean, that would be my take on it, that you should do right by yourself first. And the whole honoring your father's legacy and doing what Jesus would do and stuff like that, I'm just like, you know, the whole thing with religion is that if you believe that the Bible and God are homophobic, if people tell you that, that's just how they're interpreting it. Because I know plenty of gay Christians and gay people of other faiths that they don't interpret the Bible that way. And, you know, some people believe that, like, the Bible is literal, but it's really not. It is very much open to interpretation. And you could be a Christian and be gay or bisexual. And, you know, it might be hard, and you might, you know, have to do some soul searching, but there are people out there, maybe online, since I doubt they're around IRL where you are, that can maybe help you with that and with any spiritual issues with your faith. But I wouldn't let that be an encumbrance to, you know, fulfilling your true self.
And on the other hand, if you do have an urge to have a family, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. As you said, you feel about 30% het. I mean, you might be happy if going down that route. It's kind of deciding.
I'm not saying don't ever do that, but I'm finding it dubious because a lot of people try that and it doesn't end well when what you really want is a boyfriend.
Well, I always thought I'd end up with a girlfriend, but look at me now.
Yeah.
So that's not always.
I know it's not 100%. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I would not want to advise him to lean on that and make that like a pathway that he was going to definitely follow, is what he was kind of like saying, like it was like an alternate plan. I mean, you love who you love, you know, and you can't like, make yourself fall in love with a woman and have a family.
So if you find a girl and it, and sparks snap and you get along and, you know, this is actually something you want to spend your life with her, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
If but it happens naturally, then great. More power to you.
But don't...
But don't force it.
Yeah. That's a recipe for bad, you know...
Yeah, and
a bad time for everybody.
If you're in the States, I mean, I would definitely be like, see a gay friendly shrink, see a gay friendly pastor or priest. But you're in a country in a part of the world that I don't know a whole lot about, other than from your email. I know that those are resources that are not available to you. So if you have any level of internet freedom, which I assume you do, if you've been listening to this show and you can write in.
Plus, any kind of tech wizards will find ways around.
Absolutely, yeah.
And to do some tunneling to get outside.
Maybe try to find some more resources online. You know, I don't know if there's, like, online counselors that can maybe help with issues like this. But I know there are charities that mm-hmm. try to reach out and help people that are in hostile situations. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know... Homosexuals in countries like that almost need to seek asylum or mm-hmm. something. You know?
Iran, Iraq, so a lot of the Middle Eastern.
Well, even Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking Hungary and Poland.
Yeah.
All the bits and bobs of that way. You know, Lithuania.
Yeah. All the stands.
Well, yeah. But those aren't Europe.
You said Eastern Europe.
Yes, it's, Eastern Europe. The stands are in the
Middle East, but still.
They're Central Asia.
Yeah.
Geography. Yeah.
Whatever.
So I hope that our responses are vaguely useful to you, dude. Because fuck.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to stop and save because we're past an hour at this point, and then we're going to go on to the next email. Hang on. We'll be right back.
Let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? I bet you'd love more, right? Well, AdamandEve.com wants to give you more with 10 free gifts. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, a specially selected toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. So what do you have to do to get your 10 free gifts? It's not hard. Just go to AdamandEve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code NOT at checkout and you'll get all 10 free gifts. Go check out AdamandEve.com today. Select one item and get 10 free gifts, including free shipping when you enter offer code NOT. That's KNOT at AdamandEve.com.
And we're back. So after that email, I get to read an email about Nazi furries? Boy, howdy. Pass it over, Shiva.
I thought Shiva was going to read this.
Oh.
Because she hadn't read one yet.
Oh, yeah. Shiva, so you get to read it.
Welcome back, Shiva. Now read about Nazi furries.
All right. In response to brief mentions of furzies, one of you guys mentioned furzies on your show, and I wanted to quickly share a fascinating observation.
Uh-oh.
The German word for fart is furz. So Nazi furries that proudly display their counterculture subculture are basically farties to Germans. And there is even the narrowest chance of German-speaking Nazis taking Nazi furries seriously. It won't ever happen with that name. I suggest they reform to something like Felsies, since fell means fur. On a side note, I'm an American, married a German fur, not Z, as in not space Z, and lived there for several years. I've heard of German furs that fashion their sonas with Nazi style attire, but they never seem to join underneath the farty banner. While I'm writing, I guess I want to say something about how entertaining I find your podcast. I heard of it years ago, but couldn't get past the name until maybe a couple months ago and found that you weren't at all what I expected. So much for being brief. Anyway, I look forward to new episodes. Gnawberry. Grawberry.
Thank you for getting past the name.
But, oh God, that's such great ammo. Oh, that's hilarious. Farties. Under the farty banner. I love that.
This is interesting. We didn't talk about this on the show because it happened after the last time we recorded. So I tweeted this.
Yeah.
But
MFM
updated their code of conduct and in their con book, and they helpfully underlined all the parts that were new. And one of the bits was about attire.
Mm-hmm.
And basically saying that they wouldn't allow anyone to wear anything that was like propagated hate speech or this or that. There was a couple of other things, and you know, that con staff could basically make a call and ask you to go back to your room and change. And I think that they did this. I mean, you could sort of read between the lines on it and be like, yeah, no more fucking Nazis at our con. Because last MFN, there was at least two people wearing Nazi regalia, or Nazi fur regalia, anyway. And since that happened, the whole thing with Rocky Mountain came up.
Yeah, that's not.
Yeah. But so MFN made that change, and I tweeted about it. And, like, the only person that had something negative to say about it was it had been retweeted, and this person turned out to be, like, in some Aryan right organization or something like that. Oh, so,
of course.
So I was like, okay, so I could easily dismiss that that opinion right off the bat. But that's something that MFM did that that I feel was a positive thing. And it didn't specifically say, you know, furry Nazis or anything like that in the rules. Didn't call out any particular group. You got to figure that out yourself. But they're also... they're open enough that they will cover other things. I mean, I'm sure if someone shows up wearing a Klan robe or something, you know, they'll ask them to change, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting.
I think you're your con's next weekend.
Right.
Yeah. It is Mississippi, just saying.
I wasn't going to say that.
I will.
I saw somebody tweet just a few minutes ago. It was like, so why are you going to Florida on your vacation? I threw a dart at a map and it ended in the trash. No offense, Florida furs. I used to live there too. I'm glad I don't anymore. But anyway. Do you want to read the next one on Saturn?
Yeah, pass me the
only working
mine works
email. Well, okay, so she was covered.
Well, my phone, yeah, both my phone's not wanting to pull emails, and
your
my
tablet's flat.
Tablet is dead.
Oh, not so charged.
Let's see, this one X's and moving forward.
Yeah,
that's all right. The next one. So, dear Notcast, I wrote to you guys a few months back on advice for dealing with the end of relationship. Quick recap of your previous email: got into a relationship that lasted 9 years with my best friend from middle school. May 6, 2016, I got married to her. Mm-hmm. April 2016.
That's what?
I'm going to say April 2017, probably. My wife tells me she doesn't love me anymore and leaves to be with another guy.
That's in the future, Saverin.
No. Okay, it says May 2016, I got married to her. April 2016. April happens before May.
I'm going to guess maybe.
No, but I'm saying you can't say 2017 because that's the future.
Maybe. I'm living in the future. I've come back in time. I'm maybe. A time traveler.
Is he just like, I know this fucking bitch is going to cheat on me in April of 2017?
Or maybe it was May of 2015?
What year is it? Anyways.
He got married and then later something happened.
Yeah, so anyways, whatever. I'd isolated myself from my own friendships to focus on making her happy. Yeah, I was / am an idiot. Well, it's been a few months and I took your advice. I've been steadily rebuilding my life and even started making a few friends. Things have been going really well in truth. I've been feeling a lot more confident in myself. So for that, I'd like to say thanks to you guys. You really did help.
Yay.
I've even met and started seeing a unicorn of the fandom. A girl.
Is she actually a unicorn?
That'd be funny.
As long as she's not a sad unicorn girl.
Yeah. She'd be a happy unicorn girl, or maybe a pastel colorful unicorn girl. Your little unicorn girl. Anyways.
Did you see that picture I retweeted of the dog that rolled around in rainbow chalk?
Yes, that was cute. A dog is now cannot bathe again.
Yes.
Getting to the point, I've been feeling uncertain lately. I enjoy her company and we get along really well. We both expressed an interest in growing our relationship with one another. I've already told her about my previous relationship, yet I feel like I'm holding myself back from getting closer to her. Because of this, I am worried she'll slip through my fingers. I know we need to talk to her. I'm just not sure why I'm feeling nervous about our relationship with her. Throwing a spanner in the works is my wife. The split has been amicable, and we've managed to settle out of friendship. Lately, however, she's been making repeated hints about getting back together. It's been 4 months since the split, and I feel like I'd have trust issues with her. No shit.
Yeah.
I replied with reminders that we agreed to be friends moving forward. I'm concerned this causes problems later on. Am I being too optimistic that we should remain friends? Or am I being too optimistic that we could remain friends? ? Any thoughts or advice you guys may have would be appreciated. Thanks for your time. You guys did an awesome job on the podcast. Your UK ambulance driving Wolfie listener Grizzly. So
he,
are
new
you
girl,
still married to your wife, or did you split? Are you legally separated? No longer, are you divorced? Like, how beholden are you to your ex legally?
Yeah. If you're worried about somebody slipping through your fingers, the easiest way to fix that is to change your persona to Otter.
They have webbed fingers.
Yes. That is my helpful advice.
Or a gecko. Geckos have sticky fingers.
Yes, that's right. Like, they'll never get away. I'll always be here. Mm-hmm. Always.
Plus, you could stick to walls. I mean, that would be
yes.
fun.
Definitely the legal thing. Definitely
that's,
a problem.
That's the biggest, like, obstacle here.
My feeling, personally, is that I don't think the remaining close friends with an ex is really possible. I mean, it's possible for some people, but I think more often than not, it isn't. And you probably the best you should hope for is you're my air quote friend and I keep you at arm's length.
Yeah, because being in a relationship that lasted 9 years, you get married for the person, aren't married for like quite a year, and then she's like, well, don't love you anymore. Bye.
Yeah.
At that point, get her I would, you know, for me, I'd be like, yo, we're done. But you don't quite feel that way. But even then, like Fuzz said, definitely arm's length.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
you change the lock of the door, you change the tracks underneath the train, you change the name of the town.
I mean, I would be really leery about getting back together with this gal. It could just be, okay, we got married and it's not all puppies and rainbows and I thought that this was going to be happy forever after and instead all we've got is a friendship, which, well, guess what? That's what a relationship is. Yeah.
And even if the timeline is you just typoed it and you got married in May 2015, it's only been 5 months since this probably pretty traumatic experience, and like you are understandably
shaken
and reluctant to go forward because you've just been through this thing.
Plus, you go carefully with a new girl because rebound.
Yeah.
Read up on rebounds, read up on how to avoid things turning into a rebound, look up for potential red flags. Like, I don't know if it's because I was in a poly relationship before when I lost my ex, but Sarah could have very easily turned into a rebound for both of our parts. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of surprised that it didn't end up that way later on, but I somehow managed to come out of a really traumatic divorce and into another relationship without rebounding. So be careful. Go gentle with yourself, with a new girl. I don't know what to tell you about your wife or ex-wife. Just at least make sure that you're not just, jumping into something for the sake of jumping in.
Also, like, if you're still married, like, I would say
there's also some issues legally.
Issues, basically, like, you need to, like, no-fault that shit so that you're not legally beholden to her, because it'd probably be really easy for her to be like, oh, well, he, you know, minus her part of, like, she left you, could easily say, oh, you know, he's seeing other women too, therefore, give me money.
Yeah, in the U.S., you have to be real careful getting into a relationship before divorce is finalized, because it can be, even if you guys have been legally separated for however amount of time, you can then be turned around and slapped with basically cheating on your spouse, even though you're legally separated or even just separated. So you have to be really careful about relationships while legally wed here in the U.S. I don't know about the U.K., but double check. That's so, if you guys are...
Talk with a local barrister today.
Mm.
Like, I'm not joking.
Yeah.
You probably should.
Yeah.
And also might vary by region in the UK, too.
Because we don't know. We're here in America.
And even in America, it varies by state to state. So
up in Scotland, you just toss a caber at your ex and
you hit them
through the heart.
With a caber.
With a caber, yeah, which is basically a telephone pole.
Yeah, you it's crush not so much, their sternum.
It's not so much impaling as just hole punching.
And that's how you divorce.
Yep. Yeah. Pretty permanent sort of way.
All right. So there's that. So, hey, look, it's Jeeves' email.
Yay. Okay. He's probably asleep right now. It's late there or early. 7 hours-ish from here.
6 or 7. Depends on the time of year and when we change the clocks.
No, you can't. I don't know if they have. Yeah. Okay.
You don't know if they have clocks there?
No,
they
I don't
do,
know.
Shiva.
I don't know if they change the clocks the way we do.
They do, but they one of them, they do it at a different time of year. Mm. So there's like a little period of time where like sometimes they're 5 hours ahead and sometimes they're 6 hours ahead depending on when they change the clock that year. Mm. So it can be a little confusing. But
Australia is fucking hard to calculate that way because it jumps 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
They move forward, we move back.
So the subject line is woohoo, not followed by a doh. Dear DocCast, I write this email to you from my new apartment. Yay! Echo effect. I am free from the clutches of familial obligation, and I dare say it will be quite some time before I see the family again for any reason whatsoever. Fuck them. I added that last part. Yeah. Hooray for independence. Hooray for self-sufficiency. Hooray for being able to write 5 to 10,000 words a day ever without breaking a sweat. Generally, hooray. My question to you is therefore a happy one. What do you guys do to treat yourself when life is going well? It doesn't have to be a money-related thing. It could be a self-indulgent treat or anything you want, really. I'm just curious, since right now every day feels like a treat just because I'm in control of every decision I make again. Ever enthusiastic, even more so than normal. Jeeves the Bunny, back in Dundee again. Woohoo! Scotland.
It depends on what kind of treat. Sometimes it'll be a particular food item that I've been craving. Kitchen gadgets. I buy myself kitchen gadgets.
I think this probably says something about how broken I am, but I don't tend to think of treating myself when things are going well. I tend to just have, like, depression coping techniques when things aren't going well. Like, I just want to sit and watch a lot of TV. Although I do have, like, sometimes I'll just be like, fuck it, it's Friday. I'm going to have a fat bitch night. And I just order a pizza and I queue up Netflix. And I'm like, that's my night. But I don't know. I just sort of randomly get the things I need. You know, like I got my new hard drive recently. But that sounds really glamorous, doesn't it?
Yeah, it can be. I mean, if I get a bonus or something like that, I'll buy like a piece of hardware for a computer, or I'll buy like something I've been looking at for a kitchen or another project around the house.
Yeah.
Like when I got a bonus from work recently, I bought myself a desk.
Yeah.
It's a really nice desk, but that's what I treated myself with, was a really, really super nice desk.
That makes sense. I guess what I do that ends up costing a bit of money over the course of the year is I buy those Doctor Who audio adventures from Big Finish. So, like, sometimes when it's, like, and they do this thing where you can buy a 6 or 12-month subscription. So sometimes when it's bonus time, I can, like, renew my subscription because it's several hundred bucks at once, that kind of thing.
Wow. Didn't realize it was that expensive.
Well, they're 12, not several hundred, I guess. It's probably... It depends, because there's, like, a lot of, like, special edition ones you can get. But, like, the regular monthly releases are $12.99 each. So that's, like, $160, and you get a bonus one. But there's also other ones that are, you know, you buy, like, I'll go and I'll pick up, like, pre-order all the new shit that I wouldn't be able to afford on, like, a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh... 8 months from now, they're going to November, I believe it is. They're going to release a Paul McGann box set about the Time War, you know. And I've already bought that because I bought it months ago when I had a bit of extra dosh. And I save money because I buy the downloads anyway, so they don't have to ship me CDs from Britain.
And Scotland's always a place I've wanted to see.
Oh, so one of the people I follow online is Husky Tear.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a great author, by the way. You should totally check out her stories whenever you get a chance. She's in many of our anthologies. She lives in England, and she likes to travel and stuff. When she goes on vacation, she always seems to go interesting places, takes cool pictures and stuff like that. And she did this thing where there's this point in Scotland that's like, it's not actually the furthest north point in Scotland, but it just sort of out of legend rose from, like, there's this point at the very bottom of England and this point at the very bottom of Scotland. And a thing people do is ride a motorcycle from basically, you know, south to north travel. It's the longest distance by road you could travel in the United Kingdom, basically. Mm-hmm. And she took a bunch of pictures while she was up there in Scotland. And actually, Jeeves knows this because he follows her on Twitter, and I saw him talking about it. But it just reminded me of Scotland. So I got to see some pictures from her road trip that she posted on Flickr and everything. But so, yay, Scotland. Again, like you, I'd like to go back. I'd like to see the places, see some places that maybe I hadn't been to when I lived there. But
try and see how much you can remember from your youth.
Yeah, I would definitely do a walk down memory lane thing and go back to the tiny town that I grew up in.
Well, at least, you know, you can get like a UK passport still, right?
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm.
That would be cool.
Yeah. And it's actually a European Union passport until they pull the trigger on Brexit, if they ever do that.
But I wonder if that would invalidate them or if that would.
You'd have to get a new one. You'd have to get one that just said United Kingdom.
That sucks.
Yeah. Anyway, so I got to step away for a sec, but you were sovereign.
All right. I will. Next one. Let's see. All right, next one is called Good Friends. Dear Notcast, with a talk about gays being underrepresented in the anime, I wanted to bring to your attention a few instances in which they were represented in a positive light. Well, too positive, one. Well, you'll see. There are some rather recent anime, because, of course, if you want to see prime anime lesbianism presented in a positive fashion, you go to Sailor Moon. The first one is admittedly minor, from the anime Future Card Buddy Fight. Chuckle at the title, don't worry, we all have. And if you couldn't tell by the title, it's a card game anime, but played with monsters that interact with humans. Think Pokemon that can speak sentiently, only played with cards. Anyway, 16 or so episodes in, we're introduced to a very effeminate monster. A magic dragon named Quinus Axia. Axia is a bit of a special case. In Japan, he's transgender, I think female to male, but prefers using female pronouns. In the American dub, he's straight out gay, expressing his affection and interest in another dragon very clearly. He's only very slightly played for laughs, if only because of how much the dragon he doesn't like physical affection. Still, he takes his duty seriously and has a genuine longing to form a bond with someone of his own. Sadly, poor writing has seen him booted from the show, and unfortunately, it looks like it's staying that way.
Aww.
On a much more positive note, we'll switch to another card game anime. Are you seeing a pattern here? Cardfight.
Vanguard.
Well, there was exclamation points that made me stutter. Cardfight, 2 exclamation points, Vanguard G. It's made by the same company as Buddy Fight with an older audience in mind. Think Yu-Gi-Oh!, but no spells or traps. Just the monsters. And fun fact before we descend into gayness, a couple of writers from the Yu-Gi-Oh! Manga, R to be precise, help create the first iteration of Vanguard, so it all ties together. Now for some lesbianism. Yay. At the start of the second season, we're introduced to two pop idols, Am and Luna. And yes, Am's name is pronounced by like the word Am. Anime is weird. At first, they seem like the typical pop idol pair, with Am being more serious one and Luna being the cheerful one. As the series progresses, we actually get a nice glimpse into how much they respect each other both as friends and idols. And over the course of the main trio's adventure, it's shown that Luna holds deep respect for Am, being inspired to drive her and
we talking about strength. Luna and Celestia?
No. Oh, anime. Lesbians.
Oh.
Now,
Luna and Celestia?
Now, normally, this wouldn't be notable. This is sort of par for the course in an idol series, so why wouldn't it be the same here? Well, aside for the fact that one of the main casts became the captain of the ship the moment she saw it, the two share quite a few intimate moments together. And I mean emotionally intimate, you pervs. After Am loses a valuable keepsake, Luna literally digs through a mountain of garbage for it after she learns that it's been thrown away. Later on, Am tells Luna why it was so important and about how her parents were put into a coma, and Luna holds it with her hand to comfort her. Holds her hand. And small things like that are sprinkled throughout the series that kind of makes it seem like there might be something serious happening between them. If that wasn't enough, the official Twitter tweeted out a picture of Am and Luna sharing a heart background together with the caption, "Have you found the Am to your Luna for Valentine's Day promotion?" This is a week after a group date episode where most of the female cast played around at the mall while the plot was beginning to set up. Calm the storm, if you will. About 5 hours later, the account added the tweet, "Good friends deserve to be appreciated on Valentine's Day soon, too." Which, after the many tender moments these two have shared, just kind of screams like the PR team tried to say no homo.
Best friends. Yes, just like Lyra and Bon Bon, their best friends, whose Heart and Toes Day's ritual is having hot cocoa together at their house. Best friends.
Not helped by their involvement once a plot really kicks in, and Am tries her darndest to make sure Luna doesn't have to get involved in the main plot, since it would require draining her life force. Unfortunately, Am's skills aren't up to snuff, and Luna takes her place, wanting nothing but to make sure Am is happy, since a plot device might just be enough to bring her parents back. This is not Ellen well for Luna, as it puts her in a comatose state, and Am freaks out, desperately begging for her to return. As of now, the series is still ongoing, so she's still working on that. While it might not be outright stated, they treat each other like significant others, so it just feels right to refer to them as such. The other end of the spectrum is much less fun. Same series, one of the main characters is called Shion Kiba, a rich kid with a knight motif. He's actually rather nice, despite being the heir to a prominent corporation. His main rivals in the series is a man by the name of Shuma Shinome. Just worry about the first name, pronounced Shoma. And he has taken it upon himself to make Shion's life a living hell. How is this gay in any way? I'll explain. Their first meeting with each other had Shion accidentally spill coffee on Shoma's shirt. What makes it odd is that the almost 10 seconds spent on Shoma running his finger around the coffee stain once Shion leaves. It's creepy, even in the context, and it's only a sign of things to come. During their first card fight, he's very condescending towards Shion, berating him for leading the rich life and not having enough time to devote to card games. Though Shion loses the first fight, he makes up for it at the end of the season, though by that time, Shoma's gotten excessively creepier, saying that he could see the future and that Shion would dance to the tune of his drum. It's all very unsettling, and we're all glad when Shion knocks him out handily. Shoma's not one to stay down, though, as midway through the second season, he's shown to have been part of a group that's orchestrated the collapse of Shion's father's company, which forces him into poverty. That's a trope in anime, and many other things. This comes to a head during a tournament arc when Shuma gloats about it, to which Shion replies by punching him in the face several times. This does little to faze the man, and he cleans up his bleeding lip with a smile. Yeah, I've seen this kind of, like, Throughout the season, Shuma lurks around the scenery, overseeing the events until the endgame, where he proudly proclaims that everything Shion's ever done was by his design, that he made him who he is. He freely admits to watching Shion in particular, being utterly fascinated by him, and taking immense delight in showing how Shion would overcome what's thrown at him. If you're wondering if he's any sort of serious with the manipulation, he's not. He doesn't have any special anime power to see in the future. It's just his deck mechanic. And there's no substantial evidence to show he's planned things as far as he did, and he's not just talking out his ass. The worst he's done is play with Shion's mind, and though it is to a substantial degree, it certainly wasn't anything prophetic. Fuck it, that word. In essence, he's a stalker, obsessed with Shion and just a creep in general. And there's your negative end of the spectrum. I can't help but feel that you may have talked about someone like this at some point. I feel sure that you could have. In any case, that's all for me. Apologies to Shiva if she got stuck with this wall of text and unwieldy name pronunciations, or Fuzz if he ends up getting put to sleep by the crazy anime jargon. That said, if you do want to see what makes this card game tick, they show the episodes on YouTube on their official channel, both subbed and dubbed. The Dove is a little bit behind, but only by a few episodes. Just enter the title card fight Vanguard in the search engine, and you'll find it in no time. Same goes with Buddy Flight, though that's a much more neat show. Though either one are a heck a lot better than needing to be molested but to pilot your mech. Till next time, Fortune Otter. P.S. So I held off sending this letter until later this week, since Vanguard is still airing, and an episode featuring Am and Luna was next in a lineup. I wanted to see if it would make any differences. Suffice it to say, I'm glad I waited, because we got both a heated fight to reclaim a friend and an actual canon love confession. It's sweet and wonderful, and we have actual canon, not played for laughs or anything gay couple getting their happy ending. Again, not that way, you pervs. So,
there we go.
Couple of anime, gay and lesbian sources.
Yay!
Cool. On to the Sav.
Okay, so, doopy-doopy-doo. All right, so, this one's titled, Similar Situation, Different Problem. Hi, Notcast crew. I'm a 21-year-old trans mixed canine from Georgia. So I was listening to episode 325 and Jeeves wrote down on what to look for in a new apartment. I'm working on that stage right now. I moved back home to super rural Georgia after my mother had a major medical emergency a few months back. Before then, I was living with a family member in Atlanta paying next to nothing for a furnished room. Now, I have a job set up back there and I'm trying to move back, but the room with the family member is no longer available. I don't know if this is just typical millennial anxiety, goddamn millennials, or if I'm just really in over my own head. I'll be making okay money at the new job, but I feel really timid about spending $700 to $800 at the cheapest for a studio to dash one bedroom apartment in an okay at best part of town. I know a lot of people consider 25 to 30% of income for rent is a pretty safe bet, and I'm pretty close to this, but then I have the problem with furnishing the space. Did any of you feel this anxiety about moving out alone for the first time, and what were your experiences? Sincerely, Allie.
I never lived alone. I had roommates or I had a partner.
Okay, so for me, when Panther and I moved in together, we were broke as fuck.
Mm-hmm. Me and Siam too. We were fucking broke.
We furnished our first apartment with stuff from thrift stores,
dumpsters,
and donations.
I know it took ages for the scabies to go away.
We had those really good. We had those
leopard print chairs,
or it was zebra print. They were zebra print.
Zebra print.
And yeah. I wish we still had them, but they'd gotten really broken.
Yeah.
You couldn't lean back in them because it would tip backwards. But you could sit on them and you could fuck in them.
We had the world's ugliest couches. We had that thin material, kind of like a tablecloth material here, but it was big jungle leaf patterns with birds of paradise flowers on it. So it's this green jungle pattern couch with these orange flowers on it. They were
hideous.
Like somebody once paid money from that.
Like when I was a kid, my parents had tiger print couches.
Like, I see you didn't fall far from the tiger pattern couch tree.
When we first moved in there, we were broke as shit. Our first apartment cost, I think, $600 a month, and that put it at 20% of our household income because we were both working at the time. And this was Panther's first job, so he wasn't paid nearly as well as he is. And the thing is, we were super fucking broke, and so we actually still have a lot of the same stuff we had when we first got together. Mm-hmm. Like those ceramic plates that we have, the nice ceramic ones, got them on like post-Christmas mega clearance at Kohl's.
Nice.
The vast majority of our silverware I got from an estate sale. Like that, like all the utensils, forks, knives, spoons, and the thing was like $2. I got a George Foreman grill. We had bean bags for a while.
Oh yeah,
I got those at a garage sale. Like we had a couple of rickety ass chairs that were from a hotel.
I rescued couches from the dumpster.
Our first bed was the frame was from a futon.
It was literally just a mass of cats held in place by a bed frame.
No, it was a futon frame that I'd literally gotten off the curb.
And now I remember your futon thing.
Yeah, we were broke as shit. We made it work, and now obviously we're way better off.
Yeah, we
we never lived alone.
Our first set of dishes I got from 25 cents at a Goodwill.
Yeah.
A full set of dishes for 25 cents is like, Cool.
Well, like, if you've seen the old ass plastic plates and bowls that say plate, well, they used to say plate, and the bowls that say bowl. Mm-mm. And there's a couple of plastic cups that used to say cup. They were part of a dorm basics set that, again, I got at the same thing from Kohl's, and it was like two plates, two cups, two bowls, and two sets of plastic utensils. Like, they were the durable plastic utensils for like $2. And each of those ceramic plates and the two ceramic bowls I have are were a quarter a piece. And nobody bought them because, well,
they're ugly.
Well, no, they're nice. They're Christmas themed, so they're red, green, and white, ceramic, but they have metal trim.
Mm, so you can't microwave
them. Microwave any of them. But we have the blue plates, which were like a $10 set from Walmart. We're not the type to buy new things unless we direly need them. When mm-hmm. it comes to, like, household shit. That's just how it is.
The last time, like, for many years, me and Siam had the college dorm room leftover stuff. And that's what we had. And then we kind of looked around and said, I'm tired of looking like I live in a college dorm. And we started upgrading little bits in this. And then when we moved into the house, we've done a huge overhaul. Mm-hmm. Because, well, it's a fucking house. And you might as well just get, you know, stuff that you're going to keep for forever. So when we moved, we threw out a lot. And we kept only the stuff that we really, really wanted. And we've gone from there. But
gone are the milk crate bookcases.
We had milk crate bookcases.
Yeah.
We had like 20 milk crates that we used as entertainment center and bookshelf. So we had those. We had like a beanbag. We had we managed to find a sale where we could get a love seat and a couch for like $125 at a going out of business sale.
What are those big wheel things that rednecks always use as coffee tables?
The spools?
Yeah.
My parents had those. We actually used them outside because who cares if they got wet or anything else like that. Yeah. But yeah. But
what are they originally for again?
Wire spools, like for cables.
Okay. Yeah. I used to know and I forgot. Yeah.
We had a couple of those as kids. For many years. But it was a lot of dumpster diving, a lot of Goodwill. Goodwill will be your friend. You can get a whole bunch of cheap shit. There's also I don't know if they've got them out in Georgia. In Indianapolis, they had DAVs, which is Department of Veteran Affairs, which is another Goodwill shop that just donates to veterans' causes. Ah. There's a bunch of things like that. But yeah, go to Goodwill. Go to secondhand shops. Go to yard sales. Go to estate sales.
Estate sales, they're dead, so they sell their shit for cheap.
Especially usually. On the last day. Go to the last day, last hour of a estate sale. And that's when they'll be 75 to 90% off. Look,
you want this? I don't want it. Get it out of here. Take it.
Yeah. So last days, last hours of estate sales are the cheapest of the cheap.
Like 3 p.m. on a Sunday garage sales.
Mm-hmm. When they just want to be done with us and go home. They're tired of selling this shit. And they don't want
to put the shit back in their garage and go get dinner.
Yeah. So do that, and you could often dicker. That's...
Well, that's one way to pay for stuff, with dickings. I mean...
So I would honestly say you probably want to look into actually maybe getting a roommate. Because a lot of times, if you have like a two-bedroom apartment, you can go in for it cheaper than a one-bedroom. That's how we ended up with roommates for so many years.
You can always save space by sleeping inside each other.
So that's an idea. Plus, you can then split things like phone and, well, I guess not phone, but internet and other utilities that way, too, that are mm-hmm. shared. And, you know, splitting internet two ways versus, you know, paying for it all yourself when you're not, you can easily share that much bandwidth with someone else. Things like that. Maybe see if you could find a fur or somebody else that are in the area looking to take somebody on.
Maybe even a non-creepy, like, normal fur.
Yeah, and it could just be a landing point. You get out there, you use that as a base of operations, start acquiring some shit, and then move out on your own. But at least that way you have some help to get started. So, just an idea. It might be slightly cheaper than living on your own, even in a studio.
So, we came up with secondhand stores, dumpster diving, and selling your body for rent money.
Don't necessarily do the third one, but yeah, it's like, so that's pretty much our experiences. We didn't live by ourselves, but we did.
I was broke as fuck.
Broke as fuck, had to make do, and this is how we did it.
Yep.
Because, you know.
Yeah.
Shit happens.
I was just really bad with money.
No, I was working minimum wage.
I've been working minimum wage before, but I've been like, all during my 20s, it was like, if I wanted something, I threw it on a credit card. And of course, I had a fuck ton of debt to pay off later on when I smartened up. And I'm doing better now. Mm-hmm. I'm actually quite proud. Now the debt that I'm paying off is actually the debt from the early days of Fur Planet when we were building it up and having to actually get loans and stuff like mm-hmm. that. But that won't be too much longer, and that'll be paid down. So
okay,
so doing pretty good.
Okay, so this next one's quite the email. And we got, actually have another one that just popped in.
I saw that.
Yeah, we might want to.
Well,
okay. Oops, it's there. We go back to the email. Okay. Is this the XTube channel one?
Yeah.
Okay. Anonymous asked a question. I have a XTube channel where I upload videos that cater to a rather small demographic of perverts, but I want to expand and attract new fans with different fetishes and stuff. What is the best way to get new fans while not abandoning the old ones that got me to the place where I am today? I don't want to stop uploading the videos that people already like and expect, but I can't just upload my old stuff and new stuff. I am only one man, and I will be shooing sawdust at the end of the week.
I think you mean shooting, but yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay, I see.
Not shoo.
He's coming sawdust because he's drained his balls completely.
So, isn't there some things you can eat that, like, increase your volume? No.
That only works to so much.
Basically, it'd be one of those things you need to balance your output. This goes with any type of video that you're doing, be it porn or YouTube or whatever. And basically, you got to work with, like, I don't know if XTube has monetization. Fuck if I know. But, like,
you may have a new genre, Saverin.
No.
We've been promoting that for years. In fact, I mean, like, if you had started XTube when you were still heavy, you could have done, like, the opposite of the gainer fetish. There's got to be a fetish for losing weight.
I'm sure that there is, but no.
People getting off as they watch you masturbate thinner and thinner. And if you did like a time lapse video, it would look like you shot 200 pounds of fat out of your dick. It would be amazing.
That sound was me face palming.
Do it again.
Fap yourself thin. My new exercise program.
Basically, you just need to balance your content and like say, hey. You know, you have to put it out there to your viewers. Hey, I'm going to try my hand at this or my ass at this.
Balance your content.
Yes. Mm. Balance your content. Because, if you're already catering to a niche group of weirdos, that niche group is probably not going to be too offended that you're also trying to appeal to other groups of weirdos as long as you're still catering to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just saying.
Yeah. I mean, if you're already like putting whole turkeys into your ass, they're really not going to complain if you suddenly expand into putting turduckins in your ass. Just sort of slowly expand on what you're already doing, you know.
Until you're up to turducken.
Yeah. You want to stretch your limits.
All right.
So, last one should be pretty short.
Okay, imposter syndrome. Is this your one, then? Oh, yeah, you've got a phone.
She's got a phone. I got a phone. Then we can wrap this, like, two-hour episode up.
All right, real quick. Let's see. Sometimes I read about my friends' struggles with imposter syndrome and the insecurities and self-consciousness they feel about their art or music or writing, etc. Not being talented in any of those fields, I often wonder what I can say to console them. And I realize that not considering myself an artist or singer or dancer or suitor, well, that's very liberating. Because within the last year, I've gone up on stage in front of people and danced and sang and suited, and it's so much easier doing that as someone who doesn't proclaim to be any of those. And I think I did all right. I'll never be the best at any of those, but it doesn't matter to me in the slightest. Because you know why I did all those things? Because they were fun. They were so damn fun. I've talked to a couple performers now, and there's a universal common driver. Performing is fun. It may not be obvious when they're in suit, but having watched them practice out of suit, I assure you that they will always have the widest smiles on their faces as they nail down their routines. And maybe I'll get to a point where I'm worried about the quality of what I do. But do me a favor. Don't call me a singer or a dancer or anything, because then I'll have something I will feel compelled to live up to, and I just want to live up to me. And let's be honest, although there are some incredibly talented furries out there, there's also a lot of mediocrity. But this fandom is kind of great in that it will applaud your efforts, express admiration, and cheer you on for keeping improving your art or music or dancing. Because we're all amateurs in this fandom. Whether we try our hands at amateur dancers, amateur artists, or amateur musicians, we are all amateur animals. :3, Roland. Yes, we are very much amateur animals. So, yeah, I get that.
I'm a professional fox.
Yep, 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 yep. And we're professional podcasters.
We're kind of paid to do it.
Yeah.
A definition. So, there's that.
Or at least supplemented.
Yeah, we're supplementally semi-pros. There we go. Yep. We're the Bush League podcasters.
We pay the server bills.
I guess. All right, well, that about wraps it up. We have no more emails.
And no more, well, we can always come up with more bullshit.
We can always come up with more bullshit, but it is nearly 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, and I have to wake up super early tomorrow because
sucks. Okay, so you can always email us at notcast@foxzephyrs.com. You can send us ass at our Tumblr, notcast.tumblr.com.
Yep. I'm rubbing off on you.
Yes, notcast.tumblr.com. Oh, baby. You can find me on the internet at Savern Drake on Twitter, at you can go to justafox.com, and that sends you to my YouTube page. Finnick.top, which is a thing that doesn't exist, is the Twitch redirect for my Twitch channel, where I do weekly Twitch games with viewers, podcast viewers. Specifically, you have to be in the Telegram chat or the Discord, because I don't put the code out, because fuck Twitch trolls.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Shiva. Where can they find you?
Under the couch.
Yes. Or the couch. Be one with the couch.
All right. On primarily Twitter or Telegram, I'm Chimera, K-H-Y-M-A-E-R-A, because Shiva is always claimed on every platform. And that's most of it. We also have a Patreon, Notcast. There's a pattern here.
Yep. Patreon.com/Notcast. $1 and up makes us happy. Or makes us happier.
Yes.
Even more we'll get, Sever will give you
a every job. Dollar we get staves off the imposter syndrome a little bit longer.
Yep. Where can they find your stuff, Fuzz? What nonsense do you inflict upon the world?
I know one. Bad Dog Books.
Yay! Am I right? Yay! Thank you.
BadDogBooks.com.
Both the Twitter and the .com. Yes, for all of your furry ebook needs. You can find my furry daily books. Random ramblings at Fuzzwolf on Twitter. For the print side of the house and publishing related retweets at For Planet and ForPlanet.com. And the next convention we're doing isn't until December. We have a little bit of a gap here. So we'll have tables at Midwest Fur Fest. So for all the Chicago area furries that are going up there, we should have some new books for you by then. That gives us a couple months to plan. So.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Planning's good.
I need more time.
Okay. All right. Well, I think on that note.
Good night.
And big balls.
And for the print side of the house, said publishing-related retweets at For Planet and ForPlanet.com. And the next convention we're doing isn't until December. We have a little bit of a gap here. So we'll have tables at Midwest Fur Fest. So for all the Chicago area furries that are going up there, we should have some new books for you by then. That gives us a couple of months to plan. So.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Planning's good.
I need more time.
Okay. All right. Well, I think on that note.
Good night.
And big balls.